del carbone della ricerca. The Ben Shalom's primarily interested in the then it has to be coupled with this. So how did the slave into the core, underlying the law of Tzuri Hamshleich. This and the Pasuk Yishmera. We said in other words, that the Kiani have to bless the Jews, that their Mizbeach should all be done, and they should be done. Many Jews complain. Being a Shema Mitzvah involves many sacrifices, many sacrifices. It's not easy. Many places you cannot eat. You have to starve in many kinds of foods. So, you cannot eat better. There are certain meanings made that you, what a Jew cannot eat, but it's poor. That involves many components, many sacrifices. Burying every day in the night involves a lot of kavanah. And Shabbos involves more kavanah. I'm not talking about the days when it was impossible for you. It involved mamish misiras nefesh. We obtained by unions so that it is possible to get a job. Even if someone is Yeshiva Shabbos, but Shmira Shabbos involves so many korbanos, so many korbanos. And one shouldn't think that it involves korbanos, that Shmira Shabbos involves korbanos only for someone who works in a plant. So he's told that he has to work on Friday till 5 o'clock. Just a free. Yes, it involves bonus even for Eva. And I don't mean every form. I mean, it involves many for bonus. Many for bonus. Because you come to a rabbi and say, Rabbi, you must have an Eva. Our wives have to be able to lead a carriage. We don't want our wives to stay at home on Sabbath. It's not that it's Sabbath. It's inconsistent to the spirit of the Sabbath. And the rabbi has to be fine. And there's a problem with this culture. It's the only problem. Of course, we are Sabbath. We found many problems. And sometimes you have to put on film and you have five men in front of you and five women in the back of you, laugh at you, and they look at you. And then you take when they look against you, if you are crazy, if you have Jews, how will they laugh at you? It's a Miras HaMitzvahs involves great hardships. But take good notice of the vicissitudes of life. Overtakes the Jews who are dedicated to Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Take good notice of the vicissitudes of life. Jews about Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So you have to come. Mitzvahs involve many hardships. If it Mishpocho involves hardships. What can we say? No more need of mayor. Shivas Yom. Mich. Oh. Yeah. The concept. In other words, of course, Taras HaMishpoche, when you take a good notice of the vicissitudes that overtake the people who do not. So what do you see? That many of these marriages, burning passion of love, they end in divorce. And the same thing is true about Shmira Shabbos. Of course, involves many complaints. The lady of the house can never go to shul because the child cannot walk yet. She has to stay home all the time. And if she has to get a babysitter, take away all the income of her husband. So it involves many complaints. It's very hard, very difficult. But on the whole, who is shaking us? Hey! Did you observe Shabbos according to Shulchan Aruch? Who observes, who has a regard not only for the Shabbos spirit. Shabbos spirit is very important. Shabbos Malkus, or the romance of Shabbos, is very important. But the Jew who has a regard not only for the romance of Shabbos and for the Zmiras of Shabbos, as important as Zmiras are, but the Jew who has a regard not only for the Shabbos spirit and for the Shabbos Malkus and for the romance of Shabbos, but who has a regard for the Lamites Meloches, and he will not do a thing unless he finds out that according to Shulchan Aruch it's mutar. And the Jew who will not carry in any sinai unless he finds out that according to Shulchan Aruch it's mutar. And who will not agree readily to carry on Shabbos and to lead carriages because ignorant claimen want the rabbi to make an erev, to make it easier for him. That kind of a Jew, on the whole, would be much happier. And he'll enjoy the romance of Shabbos much more than the Jew who has a regard only for the romance of Shabbos. And the same thing is true of all the mitzvahs of Torah. True, every zihiras in any din involves hardships. In certain moments, a Jew has to expose himself to the stigma of being ridiculed by people. But as Chazal say, Mutev sheyeh sheitek al yomov val yoseh shor achas lifnei amokim. On the whole, this kind of a Jew will be more happy. On the whole, the Jew who observes Taras HaMishpoche, the Jew who observes Shabbos, his marriage will not end in a divorce. But the Jew who has no regard for Taras Mishpoche, even though the marriage at first begins with a burning passion of love, but so many times it ends in distress and in misery and in frustration and in all kinds of problems and even with a nervous breakdown in a mental institution. So it's not a question whether the proper thing is to be an Eved Hashem, even though it involves kobones, or not to be an Eved Hashem, and without sustaining any yisurim, any suffering. Of course, if there had been two alternatives, so the answer would still be that a Jew is mechuyev to be an Eved Hashem, even though it will involve all kinds of suffering, rather than to be happy all the days of his life, and with the violation of one din of the Torah. But the fact is that the choice is not between Shviras HaMitzvahs with Kobanes and no Shviras HaMitzvahs without Kobanes. Everybody suffers. Everybody brings Kobanes. The question is, and to whom does one bring the korban? Does he bring the korban l'Hashem, or he brings the korban l'Azazel? No Jew should deceive himself into that myth that it's a question of bringing the soil Hashem or not bringing the soil altogether. That's an impossibility. There is no such possibility. There is no such alternative, either of bringing the soil Hashem or no soil. A soil every human being must bring. The question is, and to whom shall we bring the soil? So there are two alternatives. He can suffer and bring sacrifices and sustain hardships and decide to stay home every Shabbos until the child grows up and decide not to eat something that is not 100% kosher. Or he'll bring kobonis anyway. So then, if he decides not to bring the soil of the Shem, then the kobonis are inevitable. But in the meantime, instead of bringing kobonis unto the Shem, he'll be able to satisfy his transient appetites. That's all. But in the end, he'll bring even a more serious korban than the Jew who brings the soil of Hashem. Now what happens to the soil of Azazel? At least the soil of Hashem, he's slaughtered, but his dam is sprinkled in the Kedesh HaKadoshim. The soil of Pnimi, the soil of Hashem, so is elevated to the apex of Kedusha. And what's the destiny of the other soil? The soil Azazel, what does he? He goes dancing all the time. He doesn't go dancing. He's taken to the midbar. And then he's hurled down the top of a mountain. And he's broken up into unidentifiable portions. And no one knows where the remains of the soil Azazel is. What did he accomplish, the soil Azazel? Didn't accomplish anything. He had more Yisurim than the soil of Hashem. But, so, Yisurim are unavoidable. The question is, to whom, for whose sake, is a human being ready to sustain Yisurim? There are two alternatives open to every person. There are two alternatives open to every Jew. Either he can sustain all the Yisurim for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the sake of the Torah, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of humanity. And if he refuses, and he says, B'shirus libi eileich, he'll satisfy his appetites for the moment, but in the end, he'll sustain the more Yisrael. What will be the end? He'll be hurled down from the top of the mountain, and no one will even know where his remains are. So this is what the Torah says, that in order to understand why a Jew should do tshuva, so he has to become realistic. Even though a Jew would be mechuyev to sustain all kinds of yisuri, even in the event that the other alternative would not involve any yisuri, but the fact is that it's impossible to avoid yisuri. It's impossible to avoid kabbonis. Everyone brings it home. And when the Rambam says that the reason as to why the Torah recognized kabbonis is because kabbonis is too much part and parcel of human nature that to be eradicated. So the Rambam does not restrict himself to the ancient pagans. We make a mistake when we say that paganism is bottle. Who says that paganism is bottle? Paganism is not bottle. Paganism unfortunately exists today, and not only among the Meseilom, and it exists even among Achinu Bnei Yisrael. Paganism exists. Paganism does not consist dafke in bowing down to the physical idol. Now, there is a Rashi, this is a Medrash, and the Posik. No, Rashi doesn't mention it, but it's a Medrash Rabbi. Vahi mikeich nosayim yomim ufari chilev vineimi dalayeya. So the Medrash Rabbi says, Boyorei, when Yisroel achayumim, like Yaakov Avinu, so what kind of dream did Yaakov Avinu dream? Vayachleim, v'nisulam mutzaf arzo, v'reishi magi ha-shamayimo, v'nei malachi alikim, meilim v'yerdim bei, v'nei adishem nitzorolov, v'yemer ani adishem liki avrom v'icho, liki yitzrok, ho'oretz ha-shato shechevoleo, licho et nenu ulzarecho. So tzadikim on the achilim, when Yisrael dream a dream, so they dream that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on top of them. But when pagans, kishev tichovim chilmim, mayim chilmim, sheheim indim alelehem, the Egyptians believed that the Neus, the Yair, the Nile River, that was their idol, that was their god. So what did Pari dream? Vahim kesh nosayim yomim, ufari chilim, v'ineim idal yeir, the yeir, that's the idol, that's the deity of Pharaoh. So he dreamt that he was standing on top of the idol. He was standing on top of the idol. That's the difference between a pagan and an Eved Hashem, according to Medrash Rabbah. The fundamental difference between a pagan and an Eved Hashem does not consist in bowing down to idols or not. The best raya is Arafat. The Rambam says in the Tshuva that all the Muslims are meaning Yichud Sheim Beidei Fibakadosh Baruch Hu. All the Muslims, they believe in the unity of God. Arafat also believes in the unity of God. Will anyone be so silly as to say that Arafat is an Eved Hashem? Arafat is not a pagan. Arafat represents the epitome of paganism. But he doesn't bow down to a physical idol, but he's a pagan anyway. And the Rambam says that the real pagans, those who knew what they were worshipping, the masses among the ancient pagans didn't even know what they were doing, the Rambam says in Perusha Mishneh Chum. But the philosophers among them, the thinkers among the pagans, the real pagans, the other pagans are not even pagans. So in respect to them, the Gemara says, Nochim shebechutz loretz, la'abib de'abrizorehim, elamin ha'viseim yodeyem. That was tradition to them, to bow down to the physical idol. That's all. But the real pagans, when they worship the physical image, they really were worshipping an ideological image. The Ruchnias, as the Rambam expresses it, that this physical idol represented, The Greek philosophers, the wise men in Greece were not so stupid and so foolish and so unintelligent as to believe that the statue to which the Greeks bowed down, that it had supernatural powers. No, the wise men in Greece, when they also worshipped the physical statue, but they had in mind the ideological idol to which they dedicated their lives. So that was expressed physically in terms of beauty or in terms of other things, but primarily the wise men among the pagans worshipped an ideological idol, not a physical idol. Those who worship only a physical idol, they are not real pagans. They are nochim shebechutz loretz, labim de'avzorein, elaminek aviseim v'yadeyem. So the real difference between an Eved Hashem and a pagan is not whether he bows down to a physical image or not. Arefa doesn't bow down to a physical image, but he is still a pagan. And Brezhnev and all the rulers of Soviet government, they don't bow down to any physical image, but they are pagans. Why? Because they dedicate their lives to ideological idols. So that's the difference that the Midrash Rabbah points out. Yisrael kishem chelmim, he chelmim shad shem nitzov aleihem. That was the dream that Yaakov Avinu beheld. He dreamt of Yisula Mutzefarzo, V'reishi Magia Shomaimo, V'ni Adishem Nitzavolo. And the Rebbeinu Shalom was standing on top of him. On top of him, the Rebbeinu Shalom is the arbiter. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the source of morality. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the judge. But the Umi Seilom, Pare, they believed in the Nile River. But did he believe in the Nile River? Or did he consider Pharaoh that the Nile River is his source of authority? Is his ruler? Is his sovereign? He dreamt in the Imigaye. He dominated over his idol. That's the difference between a pagan who worships an ideological idol and the Eved Hashem who worships HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Eved Hashem says, V'olachto bitrochov, ma'hu rachum, avani eirachum, ma'hu chanum, avani eirachum. But the pagan, he molds his idols according to his own ideas. He is aimed on top of the idols. Pharaoh is aimed alayo. So, when the Rambam says that the reason as to why the Torah requires the Jews to have korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash is because it's impossible to avoid korbanos. If it had been possible to avoid korbanos, then the Torah wouldn't even have promulgated a halachos of korbanos. So there would be mitzvahs at Torah without korbanos if it had been possible for a human being to avoid korbanos. But that's impossible. It's impossible for a person to avoid korbanos. Every human being has to sustain sacrifices, has to sustain yisurim. But there are two alternatives. Either he sustains yisurim for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a soil Hashem, or he offers a soil Hashem, or if he refuses to sustain korbanos, to bring sacrifices, and to sustain suffering and yisurim, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and he says, B'shchiris libeilech. Alright, for a short time, he can fulfill it. B'shchiris libeilech. But not for very long. Then, on the whole, in the long run, he will sustain many more yisurim than the one who is willing to sustain korbanos for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, if he doesn't want to bring Yisrael Hashem, he'll have to bring Yisrael Hashem. Whether he likes it or not. So that's why the Torah required the King Godel to confess for all the Averis of Klal Yisrael that he should symbolize these two alternatives of Sirul Hashem, Sirul Hashem. There are no other two alternatives. And this is what Rambam means. It was impossible to eradicate from the pagans the idea of Kabbonis. Impossible. He doesn't mean to eradicate from the ancient pagans. Today too, human beings are pagans. And unfortunately, so many of our Jewish brothers also bow down to the ideological idols. It's Kabbonis that they sustain for the sake of the Lazozim. Now, this is one symbolic explanation of the law of Soyram Shalich. Not Chas V'Sholem, that King Godel had to symbolize the concept of vicarious atonement, that by inflicting pain upon the innocent goat, so thereby we'll be able to attain atonement and expiation for all the wicked people. This is a pagan concept, vicarious atonement. And it's not a Jewish concept. And let no one make the mistake that when Chazal say that Misa Sadikim is Mechaperes, that this represents the concept of vicarious atonement. Chas V'Shalem. What Chazal mean when they say that Misa Sadikim is Mechaperes is something else. When it's Tzadik Delim, Chazal say, G'delim Tzadikim b'misosom, Yeisam b'chayeyem. So as long as the Tzadik is alive, somehow the Jews are not able to see the saintliness of the Tzadik. As long as he is alive, as long as he is close to them, they cannot appreciate the magnanimity of the Tzadik. But when the Tzadik departs from this world and they don't have the privilege and the pleasure of coming close to him, then they begin to realize the magnanimity of the Tzaddik. And then they start recapitulating the image, the spiritual image of the Tzaddik. And then they are aroused to tshuva. That's why Misa Sadikim is Mechaperes. Not that the suffering of a Tzaddik attains kapore for the wicked, Chas V'Shalem. Zevach Rishoyim Teino. This is an abomination to bring a korban and to inflict suffering upon an innocent creature, even if it's a behemoth, in order to effect kapore for the wicked. It's only when it's coupled with tshuva and with the internal korban, so then the external korban can effect kapore. So this is one symbolic rationale of the law of Soyram Shaleach. Namely, that the law of Soyram Shaleach symbolizes the Jewish concept that the reason as to why the Torah, as the Rambam points out in the Mira Nevuchim, as to why the Torah promulgated laws of Korbanos is because it's impossible for a human being to go through life without Kabbalah. Impossible. There isn't a single person in the world who goes through life without Kabbalah. There isn't. And this is what the Sifri means. Yoyer HaVishen Pone Lecho Sheyoyer Lochal Kavan Mizbeach. Because in Mizbeach, every person has to face a Mizbeach in his life. There isn't a single person in the world, Jew or non-Jew, who doesn't face a Mizbeach. Mizbeach, in the course of the vicissitudes of life, because of his family, or because of poverty, or for other many, many numerous and multifarious reasons, every person has to face a Mizbeach. But there are two kinds of Mizbeaches that a Jew can face. He can face a Mizbeach that sheds light. That sheds light. And a Mizbeach that is Kuleyeyim, a Mizbeach that will inspire him, a Mizbeach that will elevate him. But, and he can face a Mizbeach that is completely dark, a Mizbeach that will confuse and will frustrate and will demoralize and will degrade a person. So the Kehanim, when they bless the Jews, so they say, Yoyer HaLishem Panevelecho, may the Lord shine His face upon you, Mizbeach. May you, Jews, fellow Jews, have a Mizbeach Shikulei. You cannot avoid having a Mizbeach. Impossible. We have to be realistic. Until the Meis HaMashiach, every person is destined to face a Mizbeach. But we have to aspire that the Mizbeach should be Kulei. That the Mizbeach that the Jew will face in the course of the vicissitudes of life should inspire and should elevate him and should enable him to progress milo moilo. And if he doesn't dedicate himself to the task of a Mizbeach that is Kuleyeya, then he cannot avoid facing a Mizbeach. Then he'll face a Mizbeach, then his destiny will be, he'll face a Mizbeach that is Kulei Cheshech. And this is the symbolic rationale of Seir HaMashiach. The King Godel is Makriv Tu Seirim. One Seir is a Seir Hashem. He has a destiny of suffering, but at least he is elevated. The dam of the soya of the soya ladishem attains the apex of tushi. Could there be anything higher than being sprinkled bein abadim in the kedesh hakadoshi and the heaven seal? And but if someone refuses to get dedicated to be makriv kopones to hakadosh baruch hu, then he becomes in the madrega of Yisrael HaZazel. He'll also sustain Yisroel. He'll also bring kopones. But instead of reaching the apex of Kedusha, he'll be degraded to the lowest depth in the abyss of demoralization and oblivion. The Yisrael HaZazel. That's the destiny of Yisrael HaZazel. This is one symbolic rationale of the law of Seir HaMashiach. But there is another symbolic rationale for the law of Seir HaMashiach. And that is, Chazal say that the two Seirim were Shovim Bikemu Bimar, like an identical twin. And then the King Godel cast lots, and then the taking out of the lot from the urn determined whether a certain goat, his destiny is to be Ladishem, or his destiny is to be Lazozet. Now, the non-Jewish concept is that there is a doctrine of original sin. I discussed it on Rosh Hashanah. That men comes to this world with an innate tendency towards evil. But the Jewish concept is just the antithesis of the non-Jewish concept. We Jews have the opposite concept of original virtue. We say it every day when we say, Yalikai, Nishomo Shenosatobi, Teheroi, Ato Viroso, Ato Yitzarto, Ato Nifachto, V'ato mishamro b'kirvi, v'ato osidlit lo meni, ulaziru b'lozid lovei. The soul of the human being is pure and uncontaminated. But why is there sin in the world? It's because of the influence of the environment. But there is no such thing as original sin. On the contrary, there is a doctrine in the Jewish thought of original virtue. So, now, we say, on one hand, Chazal tell us, Hakino ve'ataivo, ve'akoved mutzin es odo min ha'elom, that kino, jealousy, taiva, and covet, vainglory, ambition, are the sources of all evil. They are the sources of all crimes and of all sins. But on the other hand, Chazal say, and the Posikim Breishis, Eile Seldeis HaShomayim Vohoretz, Behi Borom, Priyeim Asei Sadishem Elikim, Eretz Vishomayim. So the Chazal say, and Rashi mentions it, Behi Borom, Behei Borom, Shenemar, it's a Posik in Yishaya Chavov, Bikyo Adishem Tzur Ilomim, Bibeis Eisies Alolu, Shel Hashem Yotzar Shnei Ilomim, Bikyo, the Yud and the Hei. The world was created with the Yud and the Hei. What does the Hei symbolize? Hei idea, everybody knows what Hei idea means. If we say Sefer, so we refer to a book. If we say HaSefer, we refer to a unique book. If we say Shulchan, we refer to a table. But if we say HaShulchan, we are referring to a special kind of table, to a unique table. So the world was created with the Hei idea, because without initiative, without the desire to excel, there couldn't be any progress. And after all, the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, as I mentioned in the pshat of the Chizkuni so many times, Ashaboro Elkin La'asois, the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world in a very imperfect form, so that the human being could become a partner, a shutev of the Kaviyochol, in perfecting the world. There are so many chaotic forces raging in the world at large. There are so many chaotic forces raging within the human organism, physically chaotic. There are cancers, there are all kinds of diseases, heart failures, and especially on a spiritual level, there is a yetzer hara. I mean, there are evil inclinations and animalistic instincts that try to engulf the human conscience. Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom create the world that way? Why did the Rebbeinu Shalom create the human being that way? Couldn't the Rebbeinu Shalom have created the world in its entirety, in a perfect form? Couldn't the Rebbeinu Shalom have created man without animalistic instinct? The answer is, if the man had been created in a perfect form, without evil inclinations, without any chaotic forces raging within his organism, if the world had been created in a perfect form, without chaotic destructive forces raging in the universe, then what would be the role of man? Nothing. Then man would be a spiritual robot. Of what beauty would there be in the existence of the human being if he didn't have if he didn't have Yitzhak Tev and Yitzhak Ra and the power to choose between good and evil? So the beauty and the dignity of man consists davke in the chaotic and destructive forces that rage within the human organism, that rage within the human psyche, that rage within the universe. But it's up to man to perfect the universe. It's up to man to perfect his own character, to perfect his organism, and thereby become a partner of the Kaviyocho. So how can there be progress? How is it possible that human beings should perfect the world, should be in a position to perfect the human spirit? Only because of the initiative, because of the innate disposition in human nature, in human psyche, to excel and to distinguish himself, to become a Hei idea, Behei Borom. So that's also Kovet. That's Kovet. That's Kine. That's Taive. True indeed. On one hand, Kine Taive Kovet is Mitzim Zolim Neilom. So the instincts in man are the sources of all evil, of Mitziche, of robbery, of tume, of everything that is evil in the world. But on the other hand, the same instincts of Akinova, Taivova, Kovich can be sublimated to a high spiritual level and become the source of sanctity. Now, the Rambam calls his Sefer Yoda Chazoko, Mishneh Torah and Yoda Chazoko. Why Yoda Chazoko? Because it has 14 Yudalit sections. One of the sections is the section of Dushe. One of the sections is the section of Av. So one would think, a superficial person would probably think that the Rambam in the section of Dusha, he probably would discuss the dinim of, you say, the Atero, of Tshuva, of Kiddush Hashem. I mean, what if doesn't Kiddush Hashem belong to the section of Avo, of Dusha? Of course, it's the apex of Dusha. But, so the dinim of, you say, the Atero, he discusses in Mado, in the section of Mado. The dinim of Tshuva he discusses in Mado. The dinim of Deis he discusses in Mado. The dinim of Talmud Torah he discusses in Mado. What is he discussing? Dusha, not Kiddush Hashem, not Deis, not Yisidei Atero, not Tshuva, Macholes Asuras and Yisurei Pi. That's all. Dafke things that emanate from Kine Taiva Bikovet, from the animal instincts. Dafke these things he discusses in the Sefer HaKdusha, in the section of Dusha, because Dusha manifests itself not in asceticism, as non-Jewish theology conceives, but Dusha manifests itself dafke in mundane matters, dafke in the sublimating the instincts of man to a level of Dusha. That's Dusha. Not in spirit. Tfileh. The Rambam doesn't. The Rambam discusses in Avo. He doesn't discuss in Dusha. Only Macholes Esures and Yisurei Bie. He discusses in Dusha. Why? Because the concept of the Torah is that on one hand, Hakinova, Taivova, Kovet is Mitzines Odom Ileilom, is the source of all evil, of all crime, of all sin, of impurity, of idolatry, of everything that is impure and is evil, but on the other hand, is behave Mivroeilom. The same disposition to excel oneself and to distinguish oneself, this initiative and this ambition, this constructive ambition, and the kina suffering, so that is the source of progress. That is the foundation of the upbuilding of the world, behave bomb, and then the youth, who is also, the world is also created with the youth. What does the youth symbolize grammatically in the grammar of Lashon HaKodesh? So when I say Sefer, so it's Sefer. If we say, this is my book, we say Sifri. Shulchan, Shulchani. So in other words, the youth denotes possession, uniqueness, distinction, ambition, kinasofrim. The youth denotes kinasofrim. Destructive jealousy is meitzias adam neilom. Constructive jealousy is the source and the foundation of progress and the upbuilding of the world. So the Rambam says, Shemo yima odom, the Rambam says, Nochazeyes, Hoyu vakino vataybo vakobet, muitzines odom neilom, Efreis litzada achroin, Ephraim men beyesei veeschachim lezadachim atcho veyichuboso veyishteyayim veyisho yisho veyishegdirenoe veyil bashmal bishnoe el asak veyasemer hakoshe vechayitziben kigin kihane yudike hobin gamze derechoi veyoso leilobo hamala bederazen ikrochete shaloim abinozir vechipro lo pashachot ala nefesh omu chachomim umayim nozir shaloi piri shalom nayayim tzorech kaporo haminei atzmei מכל דובו ודובו על החסקם ובחמו לפי חוצים וחכומים שולמים נאוד מעצמי אלו מדבורים שמונעתי התיר בלבד. This is also symbolized by the law of Sori Yam Shaleach. the king, God has to bring two searing, shovim kemo bimare, like an identical twin. And the soil was also so is symbolic of the sins. Symbolic of the sins. And what is the source of sins? Kino, taibo, covet. And the soil Hashem is symbolic of Dusha. And what is the source of Dusha? Also kino, taibo, covet. But it's a different kind of kino, taibo, covet. It's sublimated kino. It's sublimated taibo. It's sublimated covet. Sublimated by the Torah. So one shouldn't think that the derech of virtue emanates from asceticism, and the derech of vice so emanates from the instincts. No, the dusha manifests itself dafke in the sublimation of the instincts. That is symbolized by the law of Soyam Shaliach. And then there is a third symbolic lesson that is taught by the concept of Soyam Shaliach. As Chazal say, that the two seerim are shovim bimaro v'kemo. The Yerushalmi, I mentioned it in the Droshe Rosh Hashanah. The Yerushalmi Makke says, Shualu lei chochmo chiti maudinei. Omro chochmo chatoim tiradifo. Chochmo was asked, what could be done with a sinner, with a criminal? Is there any possibility of tshuva, of wiping out sin? So wisdom answered, impossible. If a person has addicted himself in the course of a long time to sin, to crime, then he becomes involved in the vicious cycle. There is a principle of causation. So, like a stone cast in a pond, so it brings about a series of ripples, which one is helpless to arrest once the stone was cast in the pond. You can't stop it. So too, there is a principle of causation. If a person gears himself to crime, to sin, then he becomes involved in a vicious cycle. And it's impossible to change his nature. Impossible. It's contrary to the laws of science. Now, everybody raises the question again to Yerushalmi. How can there be different answers? Who is the source of Torah? Who is the source of Nivuah? Who is the source of Chochmah? Is it real Chochmah? So, how could Chochmah give one answer, Nivuah give another answer, and Torah give a different answer, and all the answers being different from the answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself?
But everything emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the many ways it could be the same answer, it could be different. But I said that it's the same answer.
When Chochmah was asked,
Chaitim Ha'udinei, so Chochmah answered, I tell you the radical is a question. One cannot contest the truthfulness and the veracity of this topic. Of course, there is a principle of salvation. And as the philosophic point out, that while Yadus believe that there is clear question, but when the Torah speaks of faith and wrath, the Torah always speaks of the path of faith, a path of virtue, and the path of life. In other words, a person teaching, let's say, has addicted himself to gambling, and he has associated himself in the course of years with criminals and gamblers, and then says, so he cannot be sure by remaining in their group, but he will say, I'm not going to follow their delay. I'll always refrain from that which is wrongful. I'll steer from the future there. I'll visit them. They'll visit me. Why not? We can still be friends. But I'll change my mind a bit. Well, this is really not fair. Because the real philosophy, the philosophy consists in seeking a test of virtue, of the day of confessors with the test of life. Now the Rambam and Rabbi Meir talk of dark shiva. What does it mean, dark shiva? It means alien shiva. I mentioned what happened to me years ago when I lived in New York and I had to go to find a room. Usually I went by subway, but one time I woke up late and I couldn't make it by subway. I decided I'll take a taxi. All right, the taxi cost us about $15 to Stone Avenue in those days, but I took it anyway. And then the driver, when he reached the George Washington Bridge, instead of taking the Western Highway, so he took the lane that led him to New Jersey. And then I noticed he was driving to New Jersey, so I told the driver, what are you doing? So he said, all right, I'm in the state. So I said, so I need to make a detour. So he said, it will take me at least 25 minutes until I'm able to make a detour. He said, I cannot make a detour. I have to continue traveling in New Jersey. So, that's not a country is able to be stupid. But if he's just stupid, he can embark upon the delicate stupid. He has to start driving. And the way of stupid, and he has to be totally controlled from all contact to his former friends. And if he has been a gambler, and if he has been associated with criminals, and sinners and debtors, for many years, the only way to extricate himself from death, this disciple is dying. Departing from that way, from that path, and embarking upon a new path. So there is no, according to Rabbi Frost, a person cannot change his life if he does not fully embark upon a new way. But the question arises, but how is it possible to take a new way? After all, this writer says, I have to keep on writing for at least 25 minutes. But when somebody has reached himself to write a thing, how is it possible, even after 25 minutes, to embark upon a new way? So the answer is, the others can see that the human being is really a double personality. Because just as the other day, in fact, the order of the African actor, so also the other thing is that a Russo border, such as the aspect, and he's giving a writer, the fact is he's not a human man. But some people, not the same word, so in Russo border, as a Yasuk, after Yasser Ra, there is Yasser Kuni. So behind every Nefesakitah, there is the Nefesakitah. And the Nefesakitah represents the real self of the country. The Nefesakitah is only an external creature. And the Talmud is that whenever the Talmud quotes a certain person as mentally, is only good news. So then that person is quoted in the Talmud in the first person singular, in the Anor. But when a person is quoted, when a person is quoted by the Talmud, as being guilty in those things, so then that person is quoted in the first person singular. Now who does it? In other words, if the Talmud was to tell you, he tells us that the person pleaded guilty, so he will not have said, But if the Talmud will mention that the person says, Ma Pishu Ma Hatoshi, he'll say, Ma Pishu Ma Hatoshi. If when the Talmud quotes the certain person saying, Hatoshi or Vishu Kosaiti, so then the Talmud will say, Ahu Gavre Hatoshi. And you can follow it up in all their barricades, in Anizoki, in Telephone City. So when people saw Osho himself, could there anyone be Dina Osho from Dina Osho? So when the Chazal wrote, Titu is telling of his own Avedes, so he wrote it in the third question singular, as Ahugadra. As Ahugadra. Why? Because the real question is having this position for school. I will tell you so much in the back of this literary book. But it's a doable, it's a good book that occupies and takes possession of the spirit of the real poetry. And this is the source of our spirit. And that's why it more than 100 years tells us that when Elisha ben Avihu and his readers are before, and the mayor is following, was following him, as he was riding on an animal on Shabbos, and on Yom Kippur, and he was living with his former rabbi, Elisha ben Avihu, Rabbi Hazelbo. So Elisha ben Avihu said to the mayor, no, I cannot be too bold, because as I was riding near the Beit Hamikdash, I heard the gospel coming out from the same Jewish Academy that says, Shubu, Shubu, Chutz Mi'Achel! And he said, I'm going to make a liar. And he said, I'm going to make a liar. Make a liar. Even when he was in the gospel, he said that he heard the gospel, he heard the gospel. But why did the mayor please with him? Just to be to the gentleman, the gospel would be saying, of Elisha ben Avihu's soul. But Elisha ben Avihu himself remains pure and is trying to come to the faculty of the living. So then he's making connection with everyone, like Hamo, he connects me with Elisha ben Avihu, who was at one time one of the Mikabe HaKorah, one of the Hanoi, one of the Torah giants. He certainly, his soul remains pure, but he's pretty much. How are you becoming also by allowing the Nazarene and calling the purpose to occupy your spirit in the gospel day? As long as you allow this Achaya to stay in your spirit, there is no Shiva. But there's one way. Expel the devil. Expel the Achaya. Then the Elisha ben Avihu, the lazy Elisha ben Avihu, will come to the forefront. That's the purpose of Shiva. The purpose of Shiva is to tell the Achaya, to tell the Ahugadra. And that's why the Yerushalmi says that when Kokhmo was there, take him out of the way, so Simon Center, after Mr. Rabbi Paul, it's impossible from the point of view of wisdom, of silence, it's impossible to do Shiva, because there is a place of salvation. So if the person of Jesus has the same, he forms a vicious cycle around his throat, and it's impossible to extricate himself from this vicious cycle. But he must embark upon a new way. But how can he embark upon a new way, upon the artistic world? Only by exploring the disorder, by exploring and ousting the Ahugadra, by exploring and ousting the Ahaya. So then, the reason the Elisha ben Avihu will come to the foreground, this is symbolized by the law of Seiram Sareya. Seiram Sareya for the 2 theories. Now, when we see the 2 theories, so then it becomes amazing that one story of destiny is to be like a son, to be the son, because he's done to be painted on the Bela Babu, on the Eden Sariya, who reached the interest of Bishop and the destiny of the other soldier, who is like an identical dream. Join the table of the marrow. His destiny is to get lost into the abyss of oblivion and degradation, to be hurled down from the top of the unknown mountain and to be broken up into meaningless pieces and things in oblivion. But it's the same when they were born, they were like members of an identical group. So what should we say? Sometimes we see two brothers, one brother coming out of bed, and the other brother, a smaller child, committing to anything. It happens. So we shouldn't say that the one was born with the soul of the Sabbath, and the other one was born with the soul of the orthodoxy soul. They are brothers. They are jumping the table originally. They are jumping the table in the mind. But what determines the destiny of one race vis-à-vis the other race? The thinking out from the urn, from the culture. So one single X determines the destiny of one race vis-à-vis the other race. So sometimes we find, I heard the town in primary years ago, and his parents, his parents were very orthodox. They came to the family and they became ministers and they became human rights. And they didn't observe the teacher, and not only did they observe the teacher, they refused, and with all the pressure being applied on them, to send their child even to a reformed Sunday school, because they were so anti-religious. And then that son of these parents of family ended up in such a family, and he was one of the best families, and they did study. Now, so I inquired from him, how did he come to Hamburg? So he said his parents were anti-religious, they were communists, but they are also poor at the same time. And they had no money to give children, so they had to send him to a charitable camp. So he got rid of camp, and then the list of the camps was in the alphabetical order. So on top of the list was Camp Agudin. So remember, they decided to send the, they didn't know what Camp Agudin is, they decided they would send the boy to Camp Agudin. He sent the boy to Camp Agudin, and then it came back after 2 months. He was a strange boy. And actually, they were in a family, they were 16. They were hostage, and they complained, and they cursed. I mean, the managers and the administrators of Camp Agudin, why they made their son into a fanatic. But the finale was that the boy refused to stay in their home because there was no post office. So then he went to a day school, and then he went to the Calvary, and he became a dignitary, a dignitary. And now he's a rabbi in one of the yeshivas. So the same boy, so what determines the destiny of this boy? One thing, they took out a path from the earth, from the cosmos, and fortunately, for themselves and for the boys, so it was this path that Rabbi said. And they say, and then they could have sent him to another camp, and then he would have been the destiny of his own life. So it's not that one soldier is born with the level of salvation, and the other soldier is born with the nebbish Pekah, the nebbish Matah. And the time is so much more attractive than that. It's you. Every person's soul is you. And every person has a unique tradition towards vision, towards heaven, towards nature. But unfortunately, because of the spirit of being so, the internal Yisra'a, and the Hebrew Malkiah, the external Yisra'a, because of the biological environment and because of the cultural environment. So an athlete takes over and he usurps the authority over the human spirit, over the human soul. And there's only one way of being sugar, by expelling the receptor, by expelling, by expelling the balance, the action that we got. Then the real anor, the original avoyer, that represents the true person, the true personality of the individual, comes to the foreground. And then he can embark upon the dark sugar. And then he doesn't have to be afraid. But if he doesn't try to out the whole pastor, and he wants to be a good person and go to there, at the same time living side by side with our pastor, that's impossible. And this is really mentioned in today's chapter. This concept is mentioned in this chapter. Everybody raises the question. If you said Balima who? Already out the angel, kind of killed his own angel. He's about Tumer. All this suffering overtook me, he says, because God was not in my heart. He's doing killing some fancy. So why did the poor say, Gornesi has to ask the Pona Balima who? So, the important design, the Torah also employs the term Vistati. So, but there the Torah employs the term Vistati only once. 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 So, it mentions Vistati only once. And after the Jews said, so then it's not one task upon me, but twice task upon me. What does twice task upon me mean? Twice task upon me means, and that I will surely hide my face on that day. At first, I hid my face, but now God says, I'll certainly hide my face. I'll hide my face even more. Why did God hide his face even more? After all, it is human. So let's say the human is not feeling to the world, but life to the English is more. The answer is human in the Greek concept does not consist in saying, well, I am a sinner because I have left it myself. I have left it to God. This is not the Greek concept. I'm not a sinner. The Arnon is not a sinner. Elisha and Avuye never sinned. Never sinned. The Avena of Elisha and Avuye consisted in allowing the people of Achel to insert and occupy his spirit. But Elisha and Avuye never sinned. Here, when the Jews of Tuve, they say, the Torah people in Kalimahu, why we start with Kolanehem? Because we allow the Akhayat, our Godhead, to occupy his spirit. We allow the foreign invader to occupy his soul. So the whole Akhayat is the new Holy Spirit of the soul. From the our Creator has the purity, the true Holy Spirit. So in other words, he says that there are no people, there are no people. This is a terrible concept. This is an unjust concept. He says that our law is simple. Our law is not simple. And we can't come and take up the favor. And we give an agulia. Here it is. It's simple. How do you know it? Hachel is simple. Hachel is only our Gavre. He's only the Veda. He shouldn't say, how will he know his high detail be? He should say that how can it stop you? He's good. Le au Gavre. Le Kones. That's why it's what we know in there. Not that they know it's high detail. Not that in the paper of the Jew, God is the God of this has to tell him. Has taken it in the bottom. Even when the Jews sink into the lowest rungs of hunger, God is still among them. They are knowing you all the time. This is our Gavre, the Hare of the Stomach. And our Abel can say, in the law, we do have to do to our Gavre, even a point to the Hare, but not that they are non-simple. And here the Jews made a spurious figure by confessing that Abel Kaidi Kirby is being not allowed to say Abel Kaidi Kirby. And the Kaidi is always the Kaidi. But the Abel can sit in allowing the Abel to find a place, a domicile in our spirit, in our soul. We have to house and expel our Gavre. We have to house and expel the Ache and enable the Ano to come to the focus. So until the Jews will be the real spirit by realizing that the Rekai is before them, but our heart and our cry can say in not expelling the Gavre until that kind of sugar. So then the Jews were a bigger one. Were making Haskell at the Conan by the Mahu, after a war, the host of Tifono, Rimakil. So this is what the concept of our ability to do is. That we don't have to bring two theories, Shavi Tumo Shavi Mare, two, one is destined to be Israel of them, and to reach the interest of Israel. The other story is destined to sink into the abyss of deprivation and oblivion. But both theories originally, at the outset, they are probably the matter of Israel. Both represent metastasis. But one, fortunately, so did not allow the Achille and Al-Gabra to serve and occupy his place, and the other, unfortunately, did allow. But even if he did allow, there is still a solution. There is always a way of cubit. And cubit consists by expelling out in the Achille. These are the three symbolic lessons of the law of Tzoyam Tzoyah. But have to tell him that the law of Tzoyam Tzoyah teaches us the concept of a various point. But here is the problem, is a non-Jewish concept. And we Jews say that there are the joint days.